Welcome to another episode of Protect the Paint. I am Brian McCormick here with my co-host Patrick Burns. Pat, what's going on?
What's up, Brian? Welcome back, I guess, to you. Welcome everyone else who's listening, watching. You know, the NBA draft tonight should be a good episode.
So, Pat, as you know, I was in the Outer Banks last week, and I just had an inkling that a couple of trades, if not one huge trade, was going to happen. And of course, I'm sitting by the pool. I see just Twitter going nuts. And I'm like, what did I miss? I'm like, shit, right? But no, finally, NBA offseason is here. We have a ton to cover. We'll cover the recent trades, including a big one last night. We'll cover a little bit of the NBA draft. And then the offseason as a whole, where we can see these guys going, you know, in the next week or two, once July starts, especially with free agency. But let's talk about the big trade last night, Pat. It was the trade that happened, then it wasn't happening, then it happened again. As an East Coast dad, I did not like the timing of this trade. I think it happened around 11:45 p.m. Eastern time. I was already in bed, woke up to about 28 Woj notifications. But no, this definitely rocked the NBA world, whether, you know, you liked the trade or did not like the trade. Some Boston fans were upset too. But Kristaps Porzingis is now a member of the Boston Celtics. So Boston received Kristaps as well as two first-round picks, which I'm not sure if anyone realizes the Celtics are not rebuilding, so that was pretty nice for them. Washington receives Tyus Jones, Gallinari, Mike Muscala, and a second-round pick. And the Grizzlies received Marcus Smart, longtime Celtic. Pat, what did you think of the trade?
Yeah, a lot of things, I guess, right? It's, you know, anytime I hear Kristaps Porzingis, that brings up some emotions in me to start as a Knicks fan. But I don't know what Washington is doing. I think they're fully rebuilding, and they're just getting enough players to run a team out there next year, right? Well, what did they got? Tyus Jones, who I guess maybe you want more than Marcus Smart. He has more potential long term, I guess, but Marcus Smart is on the downturn. I think it's noteworthy that Marcus Smart's leaving Boston, right? He's been there his whole career, and I think he's a major contributor to them winning whenever they do win. You know, I don't think because of necessarily his skill, but I think he manipulates the referees very well. He plays the modern game of flopping, manipulating, you know, calls, which I hate to say is necessary now in the modern NBA. And they're going to now lose that, right? Malcolm Brogdon is who they wanted to trade initially. Turns out he's pretty seriously injured, and they're now going to have to roll with him and rehab him and hope he gets back to producing for them. Porzingis, though, had the best year of his career last year, kind of very much under the radar, right? He is very efficient in the paint, down low, which is new for him, I'll say. But he's always been, you know, a great producer his whole career, not only on offense, but he is a top tier, you know, block, you know, paint defender and blocks. So I think it's a good move overall for Boston, as much as I hate to say that. The one knock I'll say on Porzingis, though, and what could very well happen, is he's always injured. That's what's kept him from rising to, you know, the top tier of the NBA. He misses half the year more often than not, if not more. And that's a very high likelihood with him. So,
yeah, I got to say, so injuries aside, if he can stay healthy, which I know you can say for many players, you know, sky's the limit for this offense, right? I think they definitely improved on the offensive end. And Porzingis was actually a pretty decent defender last year, too. He allowed the fourth least points in pick and rolls that I saw, too. So that's an area that even though Robert Williams is more athletic, he struggled in. Al Horford, you saw James Harden cook him in a couple of the playoff games too. So I think they got better in many ways on defense, but they also got worse in many ways on defense, right? You know, Porzingis is not going to go out there and guard, you know, 1 through 5 every night. Now Smart did struggle with centers. He wasn't the tallest guy, but regardless of how dirty we think that he can play and how many times he does flop, because he indeed does flop, he can play defense when he wants to. But what really stood out to me as far as this acquisition is that they're not going to ask Chris Apps to be the first or second option on offense. He's going to be the third option in this offense behind Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. He might open up the floor a little bit for them too. I saw that, ironically, he was second among centers in three-pointers made last season. First was Al Horford. Wow. So if you thought Boston shot a lot of three-pointers last season, wait for this season because they're going to shoot even more of those. So I thought it was a pretty interesting acquisition. I'm not sure if I was a Celtics fan, if you gave me a list of players that I'd ideally want to trade for that were available. I'm not sure if Kristaps would be at the top of that list necessarily, but I thought it was a decent trade. And I understand that some Boston Celtics fans, they're really upset that Marcus Smart, who they felt, you know, emboldened the Celtics mantra, you know, their attitude and everything that the Celtics are about there. When you're Brad Stevens and you can flip Marcus Smart for not only Kristaps Porzingis, but two first round picks, I think you have to go with that.
Yeah, I mean, they got a lot for Marcus Smart, more than I would expect they would. But I mean, I feel like I have to say this, right? I didn't necessarily want to comment on the team structure yet. I don't think they're done making moves, right? They might trade Jaylen Brown. Who the hell knows, right, at this point? I don't want to really say that yet. Your point about Horford making the most threes of centers, that's surprising and a great point. The difference, though, Porzingis gets his threes off the dribble a lot of times. He's not a catch and shooter like Horford is. So it'll be interesting to see how he meshes if we're talking about the team now. But the first round picks are, I think they're Memphis's picks, right? Or at least one of them is.
Yeah, so they'll be late 20s,
late
right?
In the draft, yeah.
I think what stood out to me, Pat, about the first round picks was they went to Boston. I thought Washington was in
the neighborhood. Yeah, why? Yeah, it made no sense. There's a lot of, like, what the hell question marks with this trade. I guess Boston seems like they won at this moment, but long term, we'll see.
I think it's a great point to bring up about, like, I don't think they're done either. I think you don't make this move unless you have something promising down the pipe. Maybe it's not a guarantee, but you had some sort of promise from another team that, you know, you can add a significant piece. But the only thing is, like we were talking about this morning, Malcolm Brogdon, per Brian Windhorst, has a significant injury that's probably going to inhibit a trade in the short term. And obviously that's why the Clippers, you know, ducked out of that trade last night. I saw a tweet today saying, if you're the Clippers, you acquire Kawhi, you acquire Paul George, and suddenly you're worried about injuries, right? So I thought that was funny, but it has to be serious if they don't want that coming back in a trade, right? So with this next move, they obviously have to shed some salary too, and that's where the question mark for me is, because I don't think even if you package two first-round picks and Grant Williams, you're not going to get a difference maker, in my opinion. You might get a rotation guy that can contribute, and maybe that's all that they need. But you need to shed Malcolm Brogdon. I think he is making $22 or $23 million this year. So it's just not going to work without trading him away, in my opinion. We can see what else happens. One interesting name to me that, you know, is out there that everyone else has seen is Chris Paul. Like, do you see Chris Paul signing with Boston?
Is he a free agent now, right?
Well, yeah, that being said, or Washington has to trade him or buy him out. It sounds like they're likely to trade him. So if you're Washington, does this make sense to even trade Chris Paul to Boston to get those two first rounders?
I don't think so. I don't think so. I mean, Chris Paul, Clippers, right, would make sense if they can find a way to get him for cheap or but if you think Boston is still looking to get rid of Brogdon, Washington might be willing to take him because they're giving up next year anyway, right? It's certainly a possibility, but I mean, what do you think? You seem to have insight on that. I'd like to hear your thoughts on it.
Yeah, I don't have any sources. Right now, the Clippers make the most sense. He would have a significant role too. He would be starting. I thought it was interesting last night when that trade fell through, because instead of sending out Malcolm Brogdon and then it be more likely that the Celtics acquire Chris Paul, because the Clippers would have so much in that backcourt already that Chris Paul probably wouldn't make sense. Now They still have Malcolm Brogdon. They probably can't trade him anytime soon. And I think if there was an avenue for Chris Paul to go to Boston, it just got that much harder, right? So I can see Chris Paul going to the Lakers, the Clippers at this point. It's so tough. It depends on if he's traded, right? Because I think he's owed like $30 million plus next year. He's not an easy piece to acquire either, too. It's not like he can go to a Washington and compete. So I'm interested to see what happens. Another, I guess, team that sticks out to me, because I just saw this morning, too. Chris Middleton opted out of his Milwaukee contract. I suspect that they re-sign him. I'm not saying he's going to walk, but if he does indeed walk and go somewhere else, do you see Chris Paul being a fit in Milwaukee?
No.
Tell me how you really feel.
I mean, you want me to explain? Like, they have, you know, Jrue Holiday is his primary ball handler, and that's then the other ball handler is Giannis, right? So, like, would he fit in with either of those players? No. Obviously, you know, I see why you would think about that. Like, if they're a competing team, any team that thinks they're competing for a championship should consider getting Chris Paul, I would think, right? He has playoff experience. He's a leader of a team. I just don't, you know, at this stage of his career, there's a lot of players that are at this point better than him, I hate to say. So in the right situation, sure. A team should look at bringing him on. I think the Clippers, Lakers make sense. But other teams, Milwaukee, I don't like it. If they lose Middleton, they'll have to replace the second, you know, scoring option on that team. But I think they could do that by committee, to be honest, around Giannis rather than getting another, you know, top player. It'll be interesting to see what happens with Chris Paul. I would like to see him be a free agent and, have him decide where he wants to play. Right. But the team has leverage over that at this point, and it's still early in the offseason, right? So these trades might happen around the draft time, but some of these things might not happen until, you know, start of the year, right? So I think Chris Paul's situation might be more long-term. So.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be a lot easier for Chris Paul to go anywhere he wants to when if he's a free agent, right? And I know that's, you know, common sense, but also with the money, if they buy him out for $25 million, $20 million, whatever that number is, he can take, you know, $4 or $5 million from the Lakers or Clippers without them having to move any pieces. And that's what makes this so interesting, too.
Thanks for saying that. That's what I meant by I'd like to see him in that situation. Yeah.
That's ideal, right? So, and going back to the trade that fell through last night, the Clippers being the party that fell through and just backed out, they were offering Marcus Morris, and I forget who the other player was, someone else with a, you know, sizable contract too on that bench too. So does Washington possibly move Chris Paul for those two pieces that are expiring? That's something to look out for too, right? So like you said, it is early, but going down the list of competitors, like obviously Milwaukee does not make any sense to me, but I want to throw that at you right there. But if you go down the list of like teams that can actually compete, I don't see where he's going to go unless it is a team in LA.
I agree. I agree. You know, he's not as in demand as he used to be. So
moving on, we'll see where he goes. I'm excited because he's fun to watch, but he's definitely not the same player that he used to be, but I'm excited to see where he goes. But I'm going back to Marcus Smart really quick here. If you could pick a Dillon Brooks replica or like an upgrade, right, but similar to his style of play, I think they found that in Marcus Smart, whether anyone likes him or not, right? He fits that mold. He fits the attitude there, what they're trying to do. So I'm excited to see what he does there, especially now that he doesn't have two other guys taking 20 shots a game.
Yeah, no, that's a good comparison, right? He's that kind of player. He does the dirty work. He manipulates the game, you know, helps the team dictate their agenda and pace. You know, with Ja Morant missing part of the season next year, he's going to be able to run the point, probably start during that period, keep the team, you know, probably well off at least, just because of his experience while Ja's out. And then we'll see how he fits once he comes back. But I think it's a good move for them. Yeah. I mean, what did they give up? A couple first round picks in the end and Tyus Jones.
Yep.
I guess they're looking to round out their team. You know, right? They're giving up Tyus, maybe a little scoring, switching from Tyus Jones to Marcus Smart, but they're bringing in experience, leadership, game manipulation, like I said. So I like it for them. Yeah.
Smart's one of those guys where you hate him if you're playing against him, but if he's on your team, you're going to defend him to the end of the earth, right? And a guy that's comparable to me, though he's not as bad in my opinion, PJ Tucker. Like, anytime PJ Tucker fights for an offensive rebound in the playoffs against your team, you're like, ah, oh, like, I hate this guy. Like, he's always chatting, right? But then he's on your team, you're like, oh, like, I'll go to bat for him. I'll die for him. What? I'll take a bullet, right? So,
yeah, he just always reminds me in that sense. Taking charges, you know, going after loose balls. Every team needs that. You know, Josh Hart on the Knicks is that player. Grant Williams, I guess, on the Celtics as well, as another type of player like that. Maybe that's why they felt comfortable with, you know, giving up Marcus Smart, although they might lose him too. So then, you know, Celtics will no longer have that kind of mentality, which would be interesting to me.
Right.
So no, it's great points, man. Great points.
So we spoke about Washington and I've been pretty hard on them, but before we continue that, let's just cover the other big trade while I was in North Carolina. Bradley Beal is a Phoenix Sun. So this shocked the NBA world, not as far as that he was traded, because we had some, you know, early tweets that he was going to be traded, but the fact that they got nothing right out of this, in my opinion. So Windhorst was alluding to the fact that because of Beal's no trade clause, they were not going to get much in return. So I can't say that I'm shocked at what they got, but when you look at Porzingis last night and Beal last night, you know, these trades, and you put it into the framework of, they traded Bradley Beal and Kristaps Porzingis and did not net one first round pick.
I really don't know. I don't know. Right. And I mean, it's clear that they're going to have to get rid of Chris Paul now too. Right. Like they don't want to win next year. Like, that's very clear to me. They do not want to win one game next year.
I mean, they're tanking for Wemby a year later, right?
Yeah. What are, like, they, is there some player that I don't know about coming out next year that that they're targeting?
Wemby have a cousin coming out I don't know about, you know, in France. So, no, I mean, I just found that crazy. I didn't really put that into perspective until I saw a tweet on that. But in the end, they traded Kristaps Porzingis and Bradley Beal for Tyus Jones, Landry Shamet, you know, Gallinari, whatever. And they got zero first-round picks. And I look at Boston. Not only do they get Kristaps, they get two first-round picks. I'm like, is Boston rebuilding now? Like, what's going on? So, no, it's really sad of what's turning into Washington. If you're a Washington Wizards fan right now, like, what's going through your mind? Because we saw this coming. Like, it's kind of reminds me of Dame, who we'll get to in a little bit, too, with Portland. But, like, they were never going to win with Bradley Beal. And I think the entire world knew that, aside from the organization. Like, does the organization just not go outside ever? Like, do they not get fresh air and realize, hey, like, we pretty much suck, right? You know, Kyle Kuzma is not going to fix this season, right? So not only do they give Bradley Beal a 5-year, $251 million extension, but they give him a no trade clause, and not just only a no trade clause, a transitional no trade clause. The only one in the NBA, meaning when he's traded, he carries that no trade clause to the next team. Oh, shit, Pat.
Yo, man, sorry. Yo, man, sorry. I'm sorry I've been so fucking dumb about this. I've not ever used a Mac before, and it's like I can't figure out what's causing this. But I will maybe start using Safari instead of Chrome as my
Yeah,
next
we'll just try it
browser.
out. It doesn't take me too long to do it, so it doesn't matter to me. What's the last thing that you heard?
You were responding to what I said.
What did you say? Like,
Uh,
were we talking about
what did I say?
Washington yet?
Yeah. No, we were
Okay.
talking about, yeah.
Or Bradley Beal, right?
Yeah, we were talking about Bradley Beal, and I think you were still talking, and I was about to talk and
All
couldn't.
right, so let's just run the Bradley Beal segment back, and I think we'll be kosher. So, right, so I've been giving Washington a hard time so far. That's pretty apparent, but let's get to the other big trade that occurred while I was in North Carolina. So Bradley Beal is a Phoenix Sun. Phoenix has their new big three of Beal, Booker, and Durant. The trade, Beal was traded for Chris Paul, Landry Shamet, and 2 second-round picks. Now, I know that Beal had a no-trade clause, and that kind of inhibited any sort of great offer that the Washington Wizards were looking for here. But if you're a Washington Wizards fan, like, how upset are you at this franchise, at this brass in Washington? Like, I've never seen something just botched so much in my entire life as far as an organization.
Yeah, no, I mean, you have to be pretty disappointed with this, at least the season coming up. Best thing I could tell that fan base, I guess, is that, they're building out solid players on the team, like depth wise. Maybe their long-term goal is to sign free agents. Maybe if the team shows that they can compete with the depth they have next year, the year after, they might get a free agent. The year after that, who knows? But right now, it's not good to be a Wizards fan. So,
Like, I just don't like, do the Washington executives just never go outside? Do they never go on social media and just like realize what they're doing? Like, are they just playing 2K in real life and just trying to stick
I
stuff to a
mean,
wall?
we know these rich folk have learned ways to live outside of the rest of us in society these days, right? They figure ways to do it. They don't care what we all think, how we live. They live their own lives. They fly around in helicopters. They're fine.
Like, they just committed to a rebuild a year too late, right? Like, there's no Wemby coming out next year unless Wemby has a cousin in France that we don't know about, right? So I think for the last 2 years, we've expected them to trade Bradley Beal, and then they go ahead and they give him 5 years, $251 million for an extension. And not only do they give him that bag, they give him a no trade clause. And not only do they give him a no trade clause, it's a transitional no trade clause. Meaning the next team, the Phoenix Suns, they acquire that as well too.
I mean, good for him, right? I guess he did at one point of his career deserve it. We'll see if he still does. Phoenix is going to be interesting. I don't, with Booker, Durant, and Beal, historically, when there's a three-player situation, one of the three players' production goes way down, right? Just out of necessity. Who is that going to be in Phoenix? Is it Durant? I doubt it. It's funny that he's now in another similar situation to him being in Brooklyn, right? Now in Phoenix, with the super team they built in Brooklyn, it didn't work out. So does he now think, you know, this is going to work because, you know, it's instead of Harden and Kyrie, it's Booker and Beal. Maybe the problem is him in the end. I don't know.
It's a good point because, like you said, usually one out of the three stars just takes a back seat, you know, voluntarily and just, you know, shoots less shots, right? I could see Bradley Beal coming in and just saying, hey, like, I just want to win, period. I haven't, you know, won in the playoffs ever, right? So I can see him coming in and say, hey, like, I'll take five less shots. I'll be more of catch and shoot. You guys can create. But I think an interesting point for this would be, what if Durant just kind of wants to coast during the regular season and he takes that? I wouldn't say a Chris Bosh role because that would be disrespectful. But what if Durant just kind of sits there, takes like three or four less shots per game and just does more of like, you know, jump shots instead of trying to get to the rim every possession, right? I think you could see that because he's getting older. He's going to want to be ready for these playoff runs the next 2 years, 3 years that they have these guys. So like you said, it's going to be interesting to see. I haven't thought about that aspect too much, but it's a great point. So I can see either Durant or Beal taking that back seat, if you want to call it that. But I also think it's cool that if you're a Phoenix Suns fan watching this team, you can play two out of those three and rest the other one on the bench, right? Or play one and rest the other two during stretches of this game. So I think they're going to be poised for a playoff run. I just think they're not deep right now. Depth was a problem for them last year. And thus, I think DeAndre Ayton is going to be on the move soon.
Yeah, I mean, that would be interesting. He has a huge contract too, right? So yep. Do teams want to give up what they'd have to get him? Who knows? Yeah,
teams like the Pacers, they come to mind. They wanted DeAndre Ayton last year, and maybe they, you know, give Phoenix Miles Turner, Buddy Hield, you know, because it doesn't seem like the Phoenix Sun owner, Matt Ishbia, doesn't care about this cap space whatsoever. There's a second apron this year as far as, you know, the cap right now. He might shoot through the fifth apron if there's a fifth apron, right? So he might take on Buddy Hield's contract, Miles Turner, and even more. So it doesn't seem like he's worried at all about money.
Good luck, you know, figuring out how that works. I mean, that's a really hard situation. Like, yeah, you have great players, but now, to me, the work begins. They have to figure out how they're all going to mesh, how they're going to become a successful team. If they get Buddy Hield, too, on top of that, he shoots 20 times a game. Like, what?
Maybe they play with two basketballs, Pat. I don't know. They just insert a basketball for Phoenix Suns games.
They don't, last I checked, right? It's, you know, basketball is a lot about defense and team chemistry, and especially in the playoffs. So that's why they didn't make it this past year. And I don't think they're improving that part of it. So.
Yeah, that's a good point. There's only one ball. I think a perfect fit in, you know, a great scenario for them would be like a Clint Capella, someone who doesn't need to touch the ball a lot. He gets offensive rebounds, so a lot of putbacks. He doesn't necessarily take 10 jumpers per game, right? So they need something like that, yeah. So where like they don't need, you know, to be dominant on the ball.
Yeah, is Clint Capella like moving? Is that a thing? Like,
I don't know what Atlanta's going to do, and I was going to say they've been pretty desperate to make, you know, a push in the playoff run again and how they could use a guy like Chris Paul, right? But they already have Trae Young. So it just goes back to the Chris Paul saga. I don't see him going anywhere but LA because everyone else pretty much has what they need at that position, you know, so far, at least those who want to compete, right? But in the end, and I had to do a double take on this, if you're watching the Wizards fan right now, you're probably pounding whiskey all day, right? Because the Wizards traded away Beal and Porzingis for Tyus Jones, Landry Shamet, what, Gallinari, and some other guy, right? Zero first round picks as well, too. Like, how can you, in your right state of mind, justify that?
I don't know. I don't know. You know, the only thing I said was maybe they're looking at free agents next year. We'll see.
We'll see what happens with them. But yeah, Phoenix, I'm excited for them. They need more depth. I think they're going to have a couple of guys that get bought out, you know, whether it's over the summer or trade deadline next year, and they can have some contributions there. But they definitely need to get rid of Ayton, in my opinion. He takes up way too much of the cap right now, way too much. He just limits their options as far as what they can do in other areas, too. So, and I don't think he necessarily wants to be there, and I don't think they necessarily want him either, right? They almost let him go to Indiana before they matched that offer sheet last year, too. So he's going to be a name to watch as well, too. I think he could be traded draft night or later this summer.
Interesting. You know, speaking of another player that a team seems to not want, right, or I've been hearing rumblings of there might be trying to move his Bam Adebayo on Miami. Have you heard that? Like,
I've saw rumors. Yeah, I'm not sure how serious they were, but I wouldn't put it past Riley to make a big splash as well, too.
Yeah, I mean, I know Miami's always looking at trading with Pat Riley. I know the Knicks are looking at trading with Leon Rose. Those are two teams I would expect to possibly make a trade tonight. You know, the news came out with, you know, leaked audio of Obi Toppin yelling at Thibodeau, you know, in the playoffs when they lost to Miami, which, to be honest, I'm almost siding with Obi on that. He has not been developed properly behind Julius Randle. Anytime he's gotten playing time, he's produced, done well. I think he's attractive to other teams. And there could be a move in, you know, involving him during the draft. Miami, I think, could be looking at making a bigger move. So we'll see. Maybe that's where Chris Paul ends up going.
Yeah, Miami is so interesting to me because it seems like they're waiting for Dame. Right. And I think that's the most interesting storyline today. Like, we've had the Kristaps trade. We can talk about Beal and the Suns till we're blue in the face. But there's been a lot of rumors online, all over social media, that if Dame sees the Blazers draft a young player, he's been adamant that he does not want a youth movement in Portland. Right. So up to this point, it's 1 o'clock Eastern on the East Coast here. They haven't traded away that third pick. And so Brent Windhorst was on earlier on Get Up saying that if they keep this pick and draft a young player, that the rest of the NBA is willing to make offers on Dame tonight. So they're getting ready. They're in the trenches, getting their best package together and then seeing how they can negotiate. But I don't know if Dame is going to stay in Portland if they make this draft pick tonight. And from what I'm seeing, as far as what's coming out of Portland, this could be smoke, but they don't have any intention on trading this pick either.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, Dame Lillard, his whole career has kind of taken, you know, had pride in the fact that he stayed with Portland, and, you know, he's loyal to Portland. To the point, I think on social media, he's even like went after players for, you know, creating super teams or leaving, jumping ship to a better situation. So he has talked trash in the past about leaving. So I feel like that's part of it too. He doesn't want to look like he's, you know, contradicting himself or not backing up his talk. So I don't see him as the type of player that is going to easily force a trade or maybe ever force a trade. So in the end, I think the situation we're in is it's up to Portland to decide. So if Portland decides that they want to just go ahead and initiate it, it might happen. But right now, it's not looking that way. So
that's a fantastic point, because I don't think either party in Portland wants to be the fall guy, right? Like, the Portland brass does not want to say they traded away their best player in franchise history of the last, you know, 20 years, however long it's been. And Dame doesn't want to be the bad guy because he's been adamant. How many like articles have we seen or posts have we seen across the last 3 years? Like, I'm not running from the grind. I embrace it. I love Portland, right? Which is one of the reasons why I want him traded today ASAP. I'm tired of seeing this stuff. Like, stop asking. Please stop asking him about this stuff. But there seems to be a stare down now of who's going to break first. But Portland has been, you know, constantly saying that they're not going to trade the pick away either unless they're blown away. So if you're the rest of the NBA and Dame is making it public that he does not want a youth movement, he does not want you to take any player tonight in the top three. If you're another NBA team, why would you make any sort of offers? Just wait until he gets frustrated and it's open season.
Yeah, wait until midseason. Who knows if they, you know, have a losing record by the trade deadline? You know, something could happen. That's a good point.
And that's another thing as well, too. Like, right now, it's all over the place. I've been reading as we're talking too, but Anthony Miller, who's what, like a 6'8", 6'9" forward, he is supposed to go to Charlotte. Now, Scoot Henderson is getting some steam to go to two as well. But if Miller does indeed go number two to Charlotte, at number three, you're pretty much left with Scoot Henderson. And I'm not saying that Scoot is a bad player by any means, but you're going to have Scoot, you're going to have Lillard, and you're going to have Anthony Simons. And they're all, what, 6'3 or under? So that doesn't fit whatsoever either. So this might not even be like a midseason trade. This might be this weekend.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, that would be something, right? You know, I don't know about Miller. I feel like Scoot Henderson might go too. You know, Miller, yeah, I saw some interview with him saying, you know, they, some interviews asked him who his GOAT was of all time, LeBron or Michael Jordan. And this guy says Paul George, right? So I don't know.
He's got to be drunk when he says that, right?
He, you know, it was midday. I don't know if that was the case, but
he should work in Washington. You know what? Real quick, Pat, lastly, because I had this point too that we didn't bring up. So Washington gets no first round picks. I've said that many times during this episode, but they did get Tyus Jones, and he can play. So in 22 starts last year, 16 points per game, eight assists, and 4 rebounds per game. And he had the best assist to turnover ratio in the league last year. 50% from the field, 41% from three. So he could play. I think that's actually a great piece that they happen to get to pry from Memphis. And he could be like a huge valuable asset come trade deadline time.
Yeah, either trade deadline or, like I said, they could be, you know, creating the foundation of a team long term, right? They're not going to win next year. That's been established, but they might,
or the year after, but
probably the year after. But you know, they might develop these players throughout the process, get them some experience, start to compete. You know, if they have the right coach, maybe it'll, you know, it could end up being a good thing. But they're not going to sell many tickets next year.
Going back to Dame really quick, I know I'm jumping us all over the place here. Miami has been, you know, pretty public about how much they would value him and bringing him to South Beach. I think Miami would be a perfect fit for him, and he could possibly push them over the hump because they've fallen short, you know, two out of the last 3-4 years of winning the finals. What do you think about Dame in South Beach? Do you think that's a great fit? Do you see another team that can potentially be a better fit or as good of a fit?
Portland. No, I think that's probably the team that makes the most sense if he wants to win, right? For a team that has, you know, the pieces to possibly trade or move for him. I guess that's really the one situation that sticks out. I don't see him like the other team that just jumped into my mind for some reason, or the Lakers, right? Them figuring out some way to get him. I assume he has a no trade clause himself, right?
No, he does not. Yeah.
Wow.
From what I know, I could be wrong. I can double check on that. I did not see that he had one.
Interesting. I was just going to say, I don't think he'd want to play with LeBron, but who knows? He was in Space Jam, right? So.
Yep.
maybe they team up in real life, you know? So.
I didn't watch that one, by the way, and I will never watch that one. But I just verified Dame does not have a no trade clause, so he's going to go to pretty much probably the best package available, unless, you know, Portland feels some sort of loyalty towards him and, you know, gives him an ideal situation. But yeah, Miami comes to mind again. It kind of falls into the Chris Paul scenario. Not that they're the same player, but the point guard position, it's very tough for them to just move somebody right away because you have to worry about the defensive end, right? So just for example's sake, like, let's say Atlanta trades for Dame Lillard and you have Trae Young and Dame now, you know, both are 6'3" or shorter. It's not going to work defensively, right?
What makes sense to me is if Portland is making the call, right? They're going to want young players back if they're rebuilding.
Yep.
They're going to want, you know, maybe Zion. Or a player like that, right? So New Orleans, New York, what teams have young players that are, you know, not happy in their situation? That's what I'd be looking at.
I'm excited to see where Zion goes. I actually forgot all about him until you just brought him up, even though we were texting about him last week. But so wild to me, like, between Twitter and the beef with, you know, his ex-girlfriend, whatever you want to call her there. And I was also texted with one of my buddies. I could have the number wrong, but I think he played 124 games so far in his NBA career. And he signed for a $205 million extension. Now, if you're New Orleans, you played that right because you need to get something back for him. Like, there's going to be a team in my mind, like a Charlotte, who's going to take a flyer on him and see if he can rejuvenate himself in his career. So I don't think they were wrong in not letting him walk, but I'm interested to see where he goes because he's such an interesting player. Like, we don't know what he can potentially do fully yet for a full season. Like, he just hasn't had, I don't want to say that opportunity because his health has been a major factor. I think he's been resting. He hasn't been in game shape, in my opinion, but he's very young. He can probably play another 10, 12 years if he wants to. So you're not necessarily going out there and taking a flyer on like a rookie year Michael Porter Jr., right? Like, Zion can be the face of the franchise if he wants to and if it works for him. So I don't know where he's going to go, but I could see Charlotte, Portland, or another team like that making a move for him.
Yeah, I agree that he's a risk, but less of a risk than some people might think, in my opinion. You know, anytime he's on the court, he has looked like a generational talent, right? Like, he dominates the game physically, right? Which, like, a player you haven't really seen since maybe Shaq or LeBron, obviously, to a certain extent. But, you know, he is more of like a Shaq impact where he's physically overpowering another team, right? So if he can stay healthy and figure out a way to get his body right and his mind right, he's an MVP caliber player, I think. You know, what team, the teams that might want to trade for him are teams that are looking to unload players, I think, right? New Orleans is looking to compete, I think. Portland, I think, is at the top of the list. If Lillard ends up, you know, being on the move, they're going to look at Zion. They're going to look with, I think Zion is a better player in exchange than anything Miami can put together in the end, right? So,
yeah, I'm just really excited for this offseason. There's nothing like the NBA offseason. And you're just thinking about these big names that are potentially out there, like Zion, like Kyrie, like Dame, you know, possibly Chris Middleton. Like, there's an array of guys where we have no idea who they're going to suit up for next season. But yeah, I think Zion, I can't wait to see where he goes. I mean, you could still watch him every night, right? Even if you know he's going to play maybe 20 games a year, you're probably watching those 20 games. And to your point, you're not getting a guy that has not proven anything on the court and just has this high ceiling that you've never seen, right? So I'm kind of hoping that Charlotte gets him, honestly, because they deserve something there, right? We talk a lot about, you know, Washington, you know, kind of botched their situation. But Charlotte, like, they just need something, like some sort of bloodline there, right? Like some sort of electricity to fill that stadium.
What do you mean? They have LaMelo. Yeah.
I know, but I'm not a huge LaMelo fan. Like, I think they're higher. Some analysts are higher on him than I am, too. He's exciting to watch. You know, his passes are dazzling, but he shoots like 5 for 17 from 3 for 12 from three, like every other night. I just can't get into a player like that. Now, he's young. I'm not saying that that's going to be him for his entire career either, but he's not someone that I particularly like to build around. Now, LaMelo passing to Zion for alley-oops, like that's television right there. So I could see that happening. But a quick Charlotte note. Yeah. I'm not sure if you saw this tweet, but Michael Jordan, he's selling the Charlotte Hornets, at least. They're letting him make the draft pick pretty much tonight, even though he's on his way out of ownership. I thought that was bizarre.
Yeah, I mean, they're picking second, right?
Yep.
I mean, probably, it's probably a PR move in the end, right? It's not like that he's actually going to make the pick. I'm thinking the team just wants him to be the scapegoat if it ends up bad.
That's a good call. Yeah,
it's all a PR move, I think. But if I'm them, I'm thinking of Scoot Henderson over this guy Miller. I don't know, but to your earlier point about Portland taking Scoot. From what I know about him, he's not really like an outside shooter, right? He's more of a athleticism driving point guard.
They compare him to like a prime Westbrook I saw on NBA draft on that.
Right. Like that kind of player. So they might find a way to play him with Lillard, right? And those other players you mentioned. Yeah. So I don't think that necessarily forces them to trade Lillard at that point. So, you know, eventually, if it doesn't work out mid-season, then I think he's on the move. That's what I'm seeing at this point, but yeah.
Yeah, and like I said, we have no way of knowing what's actually going on here, but if Dame is like, hey, you guys take a player at three tonight, I'm walking, like that could be a scenario that we don't even know about for sure, right? We just hear noise about it.
I just don't think he's that kind of player. Like, maybe I'll be proven wrong. That'd be awesome if that happens, right? But I think he would feel too embarrassed by doing that, you know?
Yeah, that's a good point. He's so, like, in that situation, there's some guys where I'm just like, dude, like, ride it out. Like, you know, adhere to your contract. You owe them that. Like, I don't think Dame owes Portland anything. And I don't say that lightly either, right? I'm not saying that you're saying anything otherwise. But, you know, Dame tried to win there. They never got the pieces around him in order to, you know, have a deep playoff run. And people don't want to play in Portland. Like, it's just not an attraction compared to an LA, a New York, a Miami, right? And that's, you can't change the location of the team, you know, right now, like unless you sell the team and, you know, want to go somewhere else, right? But it's not going to change in the next 5 years in the foreseeable future. So if you're Dame, like, I don't know why you would not want to get out. I don't. And if you're Portland, I don't know why you would not use the top three pick tonight and get someone young to pair with Simons. So we'll see what happens. We spoke of that ad nauseum, but I know we have a segment coming up, like, of trades that we want to see this offseason, but he's definitely my number one, like, over Tobias Harris, which is saying something. I'm just tired of hearing about loyalty and embracing the grind, and I'm not going anywhere. Like, come on, dude. Like, be human for once.
It's still Dame time.
Yeah. Still Dame time. real quick, so we brought up Obi. Another forward that I wanted to bring up was Kyle Kuzma. He's a fun player in my eyes. He's not someone who I think, you know, obviously saves a franchise, but he's awesome as far as I've seen him many games last year, third quarter, just score like 20 points in the third quarter and kind of just take over a game. And I'm a little bit, I guess, biased towards him because in NBA 2K, he's probably my favorite teammate to play with because he can do pick and rolls, he can shoot, and they make him like an 83 overall, but he plays like a 97 overall. Like, you can't stop him around the rim for some reason. Huh. So this is real life. I understand that. But where do you think Kyle Kuzma ends up? Because they talked about like a Lakers reunion, but he's going to want like $30 million a year for what I'm seeing. Whether he gets that or not, different conversation, but what I'm saying is he's not going to sign for the minimum just to play with LeBron.
It's hard to say where like the lower tier players go yet. I think the way the NBA works is it all, you know, trickles down. Like once everything unfolds with the top tier players, then the rest of them kind of fit in. He's a long player. He'll give length to a team. You know, maybe Boston's looking at him. If they make additional moves, right? Maybe they're looking at Kuzma, but Lakers makes sense also. Maybe Milwaukee, if they can figure out, you know, maybe he replaces Middleton, right? That's I think a possibility too.
That's an interesting point, actually, because Milwaukee always stood out to me because if you're trying to win as a player, like that's one of the top five cities I think to go to right now. Attraction wise, again, that's not an LA, a New York, or a Miami. So I'm eager to see what happens with Middleton because if he does in fact leave for another team, and Brooke Lopez is also a free agent too, he might walk as well. I don't know what star is going to just say, hey, like I'll commit to Milwaukee for another 3 or 4 years, right? I think that is a big question mark that they would have. Like, it just doesn't work like that in the NBA. They want to play in warm weather. Now I know Giannis is there. Drew is there. Drew's getting a little bit older, but he's still a great player. Right. But I can't see a huge free agent or a huge trade to where some guy is going to be like, oh yeah, let me play here for 5 years. Like I love Milwaukee.
Yeah, no, that it's a great point. You know, I think Giannis is going to draw some interest for sure, just alone. But yeah, it's going to take certain types of players, you know, to want to play there, and Kuzma might be a good fit.
I'm wondering right now because I spoke to you before we jumped on here. There was a noise that the Knicks were checking in with LA on Paul George, and I thought that would be a saucy trade. What do you think about PG-13 going to Madison Square Garden?
I don't know. I mean, as a Knicks fan, I'm a little scarred by signing aging stars, right? at this stage of their career, signing them to big contracts, and then just watching them decline year over year and not really winning. So I don't know. Like, it, I almost want the Knicks to re-roll what they had, you know, and try again. Only make a move if it makes sense for them, if it fits their chemistry and their team. And I think that front office is on the same page there. Paul George, to me, does not fit the team, unless they also move Julius Randle in that trade somehow. So I don't like that.
Yeah, I'm wondering like what LA would try to get in that scenario. I think that was the biggest question mark for me when I saw that tweet, because Paul George, you know, he gets paid a lot. He has 2 years left on his contract. He does have a player option for not this season, but the next. But a trade would have to look, if not Julius Randle involved, it would have to look at something like Obi Toppin and Evan Fournier, which is basically a salary dump, right? And if you're the Clippers, why on earth would you do that? So Fournier, I don't know what they gain. I don't know what LA gains by dangling Paul George out there in trade talks, unless like they're serious about it. And not that the Knicks don't have great players, but I don't know why the Knicks would give up any other affected players right now in that scenario. So why make noise about that now with the Knicks? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't think Paul George is what the Knicks are missing, you know?
Yeah, interesting player. Now that we're talking, I think he would be at least fun to watch in Milwaukee alongside Giannis and Drew, too, if Middleton does leave. So something to look at. I don't have any sources on here. I'm not giving up any information here, but I think that would be a pretty perfect scenario for Paul George.
Yeah. No, I would like to see that. Yeah.
All right, man, let's talk about the NBA draft a little bit, because there's so many question marks around who's going number one, right? We don't have a clear-cut player this year, right? Probably one of the most boring boring number one picks ever, you know, aside from maybe LeBron. Like Wemby, he's been pretty much whoever gets number one, he's going there, right? I'm excited to watch him. They compare him to a taller Kevin Durant, and sometimes like I hate those comparisons, but I think they're spot on watching him. I mean, he's so smooth. The only thing that could stop him is injuries, which is what we see a lot with these guys that are 7 foot or bigger, right? You can look at Chet Holmgren last year, what happened to him, and, you know, Embiid, one of my guys, right? It happens with almost every 7 footer every year. They miss their first season or so. So I think sky's the limit for him. He is a huge favorite to win Rookie of the Year, as he should be. But other than that, you know, we're worried about number two and number three right now. And then the rest of the field kind of just feels random as far as, you know, fit for what teams are there, what trades happen too. So we'll see what happens there. But any like flyers or any like late round guys you're looking at?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I don't really have an idea about what players are going to be great in NBA drafts any year, right? There's such a history of busts. And then people coming out of completely nowhere. It's hard to predict, you know, compared to like the NFL draft, for instance, right? So I've kind of learned to set my expectations differently. Wemby, to your point, has a player that 7'3", 7'4", ever really panned out, right? Like look at Porzingis, right? He, you know, maybe not quite as talented as him, but similar kind of game. But I think San Antonio has to take him just for, you know, the possibility of him turning out to be a generational player, right? He can get down the court in what, 5-6 steps?
Pretty much, right?
So it's like he has a major advantage, you know, with his height and his, you know, his ball handling ability too, and shooting apparently. So we'll see if he, I think they have, it'll be exciting to watch again in San Antonio, you know.
Yeah, the only guy that I have my eyes on for the late rounds is Amani Bates. He was the 2020 Gatorade Player of the Year. He had some legal issues involving a gun, you know, a year or two ago. So obviously that could play a factor too. But yeah, he's the only guy that I can really say, like, I would take a dart throw on him if I was a team trying to, you know, make sparks happen in the franchise. But it's such a weird draft. I feel like besides like maybe the top five this year, I don't think it's a deep draft. And some analysts may disagree with that, but I'm honestly not too excited about the actual draft picks this year once we get out of the lottery. But I think we're going to have a ton of trades tonight. And this might be the first night where you see, you know, multiple all-stars traded, like Dame, like Zion, within the draft too. So it's going to be really exciting to watch tonight.
Yeah, no, if that happens, I'll be pretty freaking excited. I mean, Zion Williamson, especially if he goes to a different team and he becomes motivated and excited, that could be a career changing, team changing dynamic, history changing move. So we'll see.
One team that's not necessarily tanking, but I was thinking about, I would love to see him there, the Dallas Mavericks. Now, I know they're worried about Kyrie and re-signing him, and Luke is not the fastest player either, but I think that would be really interesting to see Mark Cuban get aggressive and try to get Zion. Now, the Dallas Mavericks don't have a ton to offer. I think that's the only thing that's going to stop them, but I would love to see him in Dallas.
They have two picks, right? They have the 10th and 14th or 13th pick.
Yep. And you have Josh Green, who's a good young player too. But yeah, I don't see New Orleans being excited about getting Maxi Kleber in return, right? As good defensively he is, right, too. So I think you might find a better package elsewhere. But I don't know. If you're Portland and you're worried about keeping Dame happy and keeping him in a Portland Trailblazers uniform, I have no idea why you would not offer the 3 pick and something else for Zion right now, given those issues.
Yeah. No, I think there's going to be a lot of teams looking to trade for Zion. So it'll be interesting to see if something happens.
Guess we'll be on Twitter all night tonight.
Yeah.
Any other guys you want us to see traded, Pat, in a perfect world? Not that they don't even have to be on the trade block, but any other, you know, guy you would love to see just find a new setting?
No, I mean, that's I'm thinking Knicks, right? Part of me wants to see Randall traded. Part of me doesn't. I think during the regular season, he, you know, is responsible for a lot of wins throughout the year. But during the playoffs, he's now two years now and has not stepped up when he had to. I think I could see him moving if the Knicks do make some kind of big move for Zion. I think he's involved, but
if the Knicks get Zion, I will personally come to your apartment and make sure you're breathing because I know how excited you're.
Yeah, I mean, part of that's excitement, not, you know, but I think they would look at trading for him, at least consider it, right? If you know, I know they have RJ, right, who's clearly part of their long term plan. He's shown some promise. If they want to team them up again, you know, have a kind of, you know, they liked the way the dynamic between Brunson and Josh Hart worked out, you know, two players that played against, not against, but together in college, right, at Villanova. Maybe they're liking that dynamic and they want to bring the Dukies back together. And
there you go.
We'll see if they could put together an offer for New Orleans, but, you know.
I think you'd have to include quickly in that just from the service. I'm not sure if they would have to beat another offer as good as that, maybe. But if you're asking me right now, like guns in my head, like what they would have to offer in that trade, I think you would have to part with Emmanuel quickly.
Yeah, most likely quickly or Grimes. You know, they actually have some players that have shown promise. They have picks, you know, they have quite a bit of first round picks to, you know, in the future. So, the people that were thinking they were going to trade last year, maybe this is the year that trades happen. We'll see.
Last guy that I had on my list here, and he's been brought up, I think, the last 3 years, no surprise either, but Zach LaVine. I have no idea what the Chicago Bulls are doing either. I think Nikola Vucevic is a good player. He plays a solid role, gives you 20 and 10 on a given night. But I've read that they're going to give him like a 3-year extension at like $75 million, whatever. Not crazy money in today's NBA standards at all. But it hasn't worked out between DeMar, Zach, and Nikola, right? And I'm just wondering, what are they trying to get for Zach LaVine? I think they held on to him for a couple of years too long. Not that LaVine's getting old, but his stock has definitely dropped the last 2 years, in my opinion, right? Like 2 years ago, like you think Zach LaVine could be not the next Kobe, right? But like someone who can carry a franchise. And now it's like, I don't even know if I would trade Zach LaVine for Randall. Like, honestly, like, right? Like, if they come to you, to the Knicks, and you're like, hey, we'll give you Zach LaVine for Julius Randall. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, no.
Right? Like, how much has he dropped in trade talks, right?
Yeah, you know, I think he's still a good player, but he's not better than Randall. You know, he's similar to Randall, I think, at this point. So you'd be kind of just replacing Randall's value, but you're not getting an upgrade. So why make the trade? You're also changing where that production is coming from. From, you know, I think it's more valuable to have it coming from the four spot than guard at this point. So yeah, I don't see that. I know there was some talk about the Knicks looking at him too. I don't know what other teams would be looking at him. Maybe Miami might look at him too. But I you know, he's still I think he's 28. He's in his prime. In the right situation, he can get back to what he was. Is he going to lead to them winning a championship though, by himself? Probably not, right? And the trade package for that is going to reflect that. So, he could be interesting to see him on the move.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of someone who's comparable to him. I mean, not even like Brandon Ingram now. Like, I would say Brandon Ingram 10 times over every time instead of Zach LaVine, right? So I think Chicago is just interesting to me too. Not only do I know, you know, a few people there that are huge Chicago Bulls fans, but they're just stuck. I mean, I think they're 2 or 3 years away from a full rebuild unless they commit to it earlier too. So I think given that, if you're trading Zach LaVine and you're not getting significant return back, I mean, you could see them are on the run too. And he's what, 34 now. So I don't think you're going to get a huge return for him either, but you can use DeMar on many teams right now to close out games. So they're another team to keep an eye on tonight. But that's all that we have today, guys. I appreciate you listening. We'll have another show this weekend after the draft falls the way that it falls. And then hopefully we'll have some more, you know, fireworks as far as trades too. But Pat, appreciate you jumping on, brother, during this lunch break. I will talk to you guys soon. And yeah, another episode probably Saturday or Sunday.
Sounds good. Thanks, everyone. Enjoy the draft.
All right, Pat. Take care, brother.
You too, man.